Lots of theologians throughout the ages have recognized that there's not just the book of Scripture, there's also the book of nature. So why don't we preach from it occasionally and not just from Scripture? Ken McIntosh is here, and he does a great job. We've tried to pattern a group after Forest Church that he does in Flagstaff. But we've got a group in central area of Arizona called Holy Ground. When I ask the people in my church, when do you feel closest to God? They never say sitting in church listening to your sermons. They always say on top of a mountain or beside a stream or walking through the desert or beside the ocean. So why in the world don't we take advantage of that? Get people outside of buildings. This is a wonderful combination of both. Sunday evening, we're going to Oak Flat Campground. It's an area that has been sacred to the San Carlos Apache. Leading up to Christmas, McCain put in a military apportionment bill that was must pass a land trade that took land that was sacred to the Apaches and traded it to Resolution Copper Mine. So there's this battle that's been going on for 20 years now that may result in this little tribe that's been doing this valiant fight into them losing their sacred land. So we're having an event, a Holy Ground event there, where we stand in the place and we've got somebody from the San Carlos tribe to tell us the story. It's just listening to Scripture. You know that great quote from Job about ask the beasts and they shall teach you, or the fish of the sea and they shall declare unto you, or the earth and it shall instruct you. It's just a matter of listening to creation. There was an effort to protect about 750,000 acres of land west of Phoenix called the Sonoran Desert Heritage Campaign. And the faith community effort to support that work was to tell stories. So we had a thing called Sonoran Stories, where we had 8 different concerts around that area and told stories of the land, thinking that people don't love a place unless it's a storied place for them. So we asked a farmer to tell a story about the land that was in this area, and he told a story about how his crew was digging an irrigation ditch. And it was going about twice as fast as anybody imagined it would go. And then they started finding artifacts, and they realized that this very place where they were digging was the same place where the Hohokam, 1,000 years before, had been digging irrigation ditches. Somebody told a story about when they were little and they found this horny toad, little baby horny toad, took a matchbox and made little furniture for it, little cloth for a carpet, put the horny toad inside there and proudly took it to her grandfather to show him, look what I've got. And he tried to teach her, you know, what if somebody came and took you away and put you in a little box and you missed your family and you wanted to be with them? Shouldn't that horny toad be reunited with its home and its family? So she took it out and let it go. And she ended the story by saying, you know, in the Navajo tradition, the horny toad is grandfather warrior. And if we could learn from grandfather horny toad what it is to fight for sacred land and holy places and the environment, we could go a long ways. Somebody at these concerts said, I just moved here from the Midwest, and I miss the trees, and I miss the green, and now I think I can go back out into the desert, and I'm anxious to get out there because you've given me a new appreciation for this place in the desert. So we had one event where this is one of our storytellers. It was a sacred desert, so all the storytellers were from different religious traditions. We had Episcopalian and Jewish and Muslim and Catholic and Evangelical. All of these religious traditions, of course, were born and grew out of the desert. And then after these eight concerts, each time we had giant postcards where people could sign the postcards and send it off to legislators advocating the protection of the land. And then we had people not only heard stories about the desert, but they tasted the desert. So this is prickly pear lemonade and mesquite chocolate chip cookies. We've had storytelling concerts, one on earth, one on air, one on fire, one on water. For the 40th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act, we had storytellers come and tell stories about species that were endangered. And we did the same for the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act. All the stories were about wolves. So what are the stories that are compelling for you, that give you passion for the work that you do? I think sometimes, as Joan said, we get wrapped up in the facts, but we forget those stories that give us the passion and the reason for doing the work. So this is a picture of my brother and me standing on Mother Earth, on either side of our mother when she was alive. Now, we're pretty close in proximity there, but the fact is, if you were to imagine a continuum, Al is at as far at one end of that continuum as I am at the other, whether it's religious or cultural or taste or vocation, or we're just complete opposites. We have stories from our childhood that would make Cain and Abel blush. But we get together once a year and we go backpacking in the wilderness area someplace. And it's the one thing that bridges that gap that exists between us. And this is my hope right now. You know, environmental issues are divisive in so many different ways. But ultimately, it has to be that care for the earth brings us together, because we're totally dependent on the natural world.